Thank you, Crystal. It's been a while since I preached, too. I think the last time I preached was when we was living in Tennessee. I preached back in February. So it's been a while. So, but y'all pray for us, and I appreciate the opportunity of Brother Josh asked me to preach and thank the church for letting me, giving me the privilege. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn with us tonight to 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, and I'm just going to read one verse, verse 17. And our title tonight would be Seven New Things. Seven New Things. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to bring your word, Lord, to this church tonight. We thank you for the opportunity of being able to bring your message. We pray, Father, that whatever things said and done might be done for your glory and your honor. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon this word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The Bible says that when we are saved, we become a new creature or a new creation, as some of the versions give. But in other words, when we are born again, we become a new creation in Christ. The old man has died, and a new man lives. That's what it's supposed to be when we become a Christian. And tonight I want to mention, I said seven new things. And first of all, what Christ gives us is a new life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So we not only receive a new life, we receive one that is more abundant, more richer, more fuller than we ever known before. We are it's a life filled with joy and peace and fellowship with God. And so this is the joy that we have in fellowshipping with God. Adam, before the fall, he dwelt with God in the Garden of Eden, in God's presence, and him and God walked and talked together. But after the fall, he was banished from the garden and from the presence of God. And natural man is still outside the fellowship of God, still out of the presence of God, until we are born again, until we are saved. When Christ comes within us, and comes to dwell with us, we now have access to the very presence of God. We can enjoy fellowship with God again. We can walk and talk with him, and he can talk with us if we listen. The old saying is that God has given us two ears and one mouth. We're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. We go to God in prayer. People just go and tell him all our troubles and all our complaints and get him and say, Lord, that's it, handle it for me. No, we need to stop and listen and let God speak to us and take God's word and meditate upon it, read it and then meditate upon it, and let and be quiet sometimes and just let God speak to us. And the Bible says he does in a small, still voice. He will speak to our hearts and we'll know what he expects from us. But when we redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, we have direct access to the throne of God. We don't have to go through a preacher or a priest or anyone else. We can go directly to Christ, to God himself, because Jesus has made a way for that. This new life that we have is not only an abundant life, but it's an eternal life that Christ has given us. John 10:28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. So when this old body that we have now, it passes from this life, I'm just going to be in the presence of God. In the fifth chapter, the first verse of 2 Corinthians, it says, Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul also said that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So we just exchange this temple for another one that's made by God. Another thing we have at when we when I got saved, I had a new family. I'm an only child. My mother could never have any more children. So I never had the experience of the joys of having an immediate family and siblings to play and play with as a child. I played with cousins and all, but I didn't. And they would just come visit sometimes. But once, and then when my wife and I got married, I inherited her family. She had three sisters and a brother. And today, two sisters are still living. The other two are passed away. And so I have fellowship with them. And I feel just like they're part of my family, and they treat me the same way. And I love them just like I would if they were my own direct family. But also, when I became a Christian, I inherited a multitude of brothers and sisters. Everyone that is saved is my brother and sister. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We are, someone said, we are blood brothers, our blood sisters, but we are blood related to the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, and I love you as my brothers and sisters as you are to love me. We are to love, Jesus said, we are to love one another as he has loved us. And he said, that way all men shall know that you are my disciple if you have love one toward another. So this is the love that we have through Christ Jesus. And I preach in a lot of different churches, and many times I go in just, you know, hold just maybe one night or two nights or something. And I'd never been in that church before. But yet I felt a connection with them because they were my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Also, when I got saved, or when you get saved, you know, I had new friends. Just a few of my friends. I never abandoned my friends that I had before. A couple of them just didn't want to have a whole lot more to do with me anymore because I come to know Jesus. But the majority of them all got saved too. Because with the pastor and all, we went into the different homes and we witnessed to them. And I saw many of my friends kneel at a couch in their home and accept Jesus as a Savior. And I say not only that, but I witnessed their families, their mothers and fathers, and their brothers and sisters, and it just spread to the whole area that multitudes was saved. And to me, that's one of the greatest things, the greatest experience, is watching someone accept Jesus. You know, the Bible says that the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. And we ought to rejoice with them when someone comes and accepts Jesus Christ as a Savior. That way we've got a new brother and a sister. Amen. I wasn't raised up in a Christian home. I was raised up in a beer joint. My stepfather had a beer joint, and that's mostly where I was raised up at. And I lived that life also. until I met Jesus. It was like the brother was talking about this morning, the Apostle Paul, how that he persecuted the church and how that he consented to death of Stephen and to many others, put many people into prisons until he met Jesus. And then his whole life was changed forever. And so it was with me. Once I met Jesus, my life was changed forever and forever. Then we would gather in our homes. Instead of having beer parties and stuff, we'd gather and have prayer meetings and sing gospel songs, and we'd read the Bible and discuss it and pray one for another. All because Jesus changed our lives. Fourth thing that he gives us a new heart. Ezekiel 36 and 26, the scripture says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh." So God gives us a new heart. He takes us into his surgery room and he gives us a heart transplant. The Bible tells us that the natural heart is deceitfully wicked above all things and desperately wicked. And Matthew 15:20 says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies." But when Jesus comes in and he gives us a new heart, he gives us one that's filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and his divine love. Along with that same scripture, he gives us a new spirit. He fills us with his sweet Holy Spirit so that we'll have someone to lead and guide and direct us all of our lives. Ephesians 1 and 13 says, it tells us that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. So this Holy Spirit dwelling within us leads and guides and directs our lives. We become actually the direct tabernacle of God. This building is not the tabernacle of God. You and I are. Because God dwells within us, not in the building. So we need to remember that and conduct our lives accordingly, because people are looking at us. And we need to let them see Jesus in our lives. Another thing that he gives us new desires, or some people say new want-tos. I usually want to do this, but now I want to do this. He changes our outlook upon life. And once it was the honky-tonks and the bars and so forth. Then God gave me new desires. I wanted to be in God's house. Once I got saved, the first thing I'd done, I went and got a Bible. I didn't have one. It was my grandmother's. I went and got it and I started reading it. I want to know what God had to say to me. And I was in church every time the door was open, I was there. I'm still just about the same way today, unless sometimes I'm sick. I like to be in God's house. I love to be among God's people and feel their fellowship. As we gather together, the Spirit of God becomes stronger in God's house. Where two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, "I'm in the midst." And he's here with us tonight. As far as being drunk, I'd rather be drunk on the new wine from heaven. It don't give you a headache or a hangover. Amen. Amen. He gives us a new kind of love too. The agape love. Not the selfish kind that people normally have. our sexual love or earthly love, but he gives us a heavenly love. What kind of love is that? It's expressed in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved. He loved us so much that even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he loves you today, tonight. God's amazing love. It's amazing, isn't it? How that he could love us in that condition, but yet he did. We must also remember that God loves that alcoholic on the street. He loves that dope addict. He loves that homeless person that smells to high heaven. God loves him just as much that he loves you and I. And because he has filled us with that love, his love, we are to love them just like he does. Because he died for them just like he did for you and I. He died to set them free from that bondage. And we have to take the message to them so they will know. Here tonight, I don't know the condition of your heart. If you are lost, then this is tonight to get your heart right with God. It doesn't matter how deep into sin that you've gone. God still loves you. And no, I don't care what sin it is, there's no sin that you have committed tonight that is beyond the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be made white as snow. Maybe you backslid upon God. If you do, then this is time to get your heart back right with God. We have deacons here tonight. They'll come pray with you. I'll pray with you. And if you have any need in your life, this is a place to come and find an answer for it, because God will meet your needs tonight. If Crystal will come, we'll have a song. Just remember one thing, that Jesus loved you enough to die for you. He loved you enough to give his life so that you might have eternal life. May we all stand.